Blog Talk Radio.
Political heavyweights are on the campaign trail this weekend with just 10 days to go before the midterm elections. Barack Obama, President Biden, and Donald Trump fanning out across the country in the final days of the campaign.
Yeah, Obama is on a five-state tour to rally support for Democrats. He campaigned in Georgia on Friday, in Wisconsin and Michigan yesterday, along with incumbent Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
Gretchen Whitmer are working to make sure cars are being built and high-tech manufacturing is being done right here in Michigan instead of China. That's an actual plan.
Even though he's facing his own re-election campaign, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is on the campaign trail this weekend rallying in support for Lee Zeldin, the congressman who's running for governor of New York.
If you are tired of the same old story, well, you have the power to turn the page. You have the power to elect Lee Zeldin as the next governor of the state of New York. You will roll with some changes, and this will be the 21st century version of the shot heard round the world. Let's get it done.
Meantime, in Wisconsin, President Obama slammed incumbent GOP Senator Ron Johnson for calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme. Obama is hoping to get Democrats fired up as they head to the polls.
Let's get more on his Midwest campaign swing from CNN correspondent Omar Jimenez.
Well, President Obama said the reason he was here in Milwaukee is simple, to get people to vote. We are closing in on a week to Election Day, and this was the second stop the former president made over the course of Saturday, the first being in Detroit, campaigning for Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Then he made his way here to Milwaukee, where he campaigned largely for Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Senate hopeful Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Part of what he emphasized was that democracy was on the ballot in this particular race coming up. He said in familiar fashion of Republicans, no one can hear you outside this auditorium when you boo, so you have to go vote. He also, though, touched on Senator Ron Johnson floating the idea that Social Security would become discretionary funding or decided on an annual basis. Take a listen.
Senator Johnson voted to raise the retirement age to 70, supported a plan that would put Social Security and Medicare on the chopping block every single year. Each year you'd have to vote to renew this thing. I mean, think about it, because Washington works so well. You want your Social Security and Medicare reliant on Congress every year. He's called Social Security a Ponzi scheme. Said that it's candy that the left is giving away. The point is, some of you here are on Social Security. Some of your parents are on Social Security. Some of your grandparents are on Social Security. You know why they have Social Security? Because they worked for it. They worked hard jobs for it. They have chapped hands for it. They had long hours and sore backs and bad knees to get that Social Security. And if Ron Johnson does not understand that, if he understands giving tax breaks for private planes more than he understands making sure that seniors who've worked all their lives are able to retire with dignity and respect, he's not the person who's thinking about you and knows you and sees you, and he should not be your senator from Wisconsin.
Now, Boris and Amra, the former president, has really jumped into these midterm races strongly in the past week and a half, not just with his planned in-person visits, but also he's recorded nearly two dozen commercials for Democratic candidates, but also campaign committees. In this particular race, the Senate race here in Wisconsin, Democratic candidate Mandela Barnes and incumbent Republican Senator Ron Johnson, polls have shown there's no clear leader in this race. It's that close, but both of them have campaigned on the country being on the line, partly because whoever wins that race will help control the entire U.S. Senate. Over October, Barnes has outraised Johnson just about 3-1 over the course of, again, October to this point, and Barnes is hoping that Obama's visit can help keep that momentum going. Boris, Amra?
Omar, thank you. The Republican candidate in the race for New York governor gets a boost from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. DeSantis rallied supporters of Lee Zeldin during a campaign stop in New York.
And polls show that New York governor's race is tightening. Kathy Hochul, the incumbent, had a big lead in the summer, but it has become a very contentious race as crime becomes a major focus of the campaign. We get details now from CNN's Gloria Pazmina.
Boris, Amara, Lee Zeldin relying on some big Republican heavy hitters. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a potential presidential contender in 2024, coming all the way out to Long Island to stump alongside Lee Zeldin, who has been mounting a pretty significant challenge to the incumbent Governor Kathy Hochul. That race has become uncomfortably close for Democrats in the last couple of weeks. According to some polls, Lee Zeldin is just within single digits of Governor Hochul's lead, and that has Democrats very, very worried. Now, we have seen a lot of enthusiasm and concern here on Long Island, and mainly around the issue of public safety, and that has been a key part of the Zeldin campaign. Now, Governor Kathy Hochul, for her part, spent the day in Erie County. That's very much her backyard. She cast her early vote in Buffalo and was asked about what she thought about Ron DeSantis coming all the way out to New York to campaign with Zeldin.
He can come here, he can stand here, but he will not change the core and the essence of who New Yorkers are. And I feel very confident that Democrats will turn out. When Democrats turn out, we will win.
Now you hear Governor Hochul talking about turnout there, and that is actually going to be key should she be able to win this race. New York has not elected a Republican governor in 20 years, but when it comes to turnout, that's what she's going to need most. She's going to need Democrats to go out to the polls. They outnumber Republicans here in the state, but it's really going to come down to enthusiasm and people being willing to go out there and vote for her. I spoke to a voter earlier who told me that she just wasn't that familiar with Kathy Hochul because she'd only been in office for just 14 months. So that is certainly one of the challenges that the incumbent governor seems to be facing. But in the last couple of weeks, she has been drumming up support and trying to convince voters that she can pull this off. Amara, Boris.
Gloria Pazmino, thank you so much. Let's dig deeper on some of...
Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome. So happy Halloween to everybody. So if you haven't went out and did the Halloween thing, in some places they may be just starting Halloween. I am very excited about tonight because I seen a lot of different costumes and I will give it up to my sisters, man. They had the best costume. They were dressed as Hocus Pocus and they did a hell of a job with it. It was so awesome. One hell of a costume that they put together. Here's something that happened to me today that was very interesting. So we have a store that's up in our area. It's a local grocery store, gas station chain, and it's called United Dairy Farmers. What United Dairy Farmers is, it's basically an ice cream shop, gas station, so forth. It's owned and ran by Carl Lender and the Lenders here in Cincinnati, Ohio. So anyway, I go to the gas station and I walk in, and this is what's funny here. Okay, now listen to this. I went into the gas station to go use the bathroom, and I walk back and I see this sign posted on the door of the female's bathroom. Now, they don't have one on the men's restroom, but they have a sign that was handwritten posted on the female's bathroom. It says, no men allowed, right? So no men allowed in this bathroom. So I was kind of interested to try to figure out why it said that. I thought maybe it was just so saying that men can't use the females' bathrooms. You know, people usually say something like that, I'm sure. But there are new laws that state that men can use either one now because of the transgender thing, right? And so I went up to the cashier. I was like, what's that sign there? And here's what she said. She had said that they had somebody come in that was a male dressed as a female and that they didn't know if it was Halloween costume or whatever, but they were not going to allow it in their bathrooms. They were not going to allow this these people in their bathrooms. So I was like, okay. So you're saying that, well, I think, what if that person is transgender? Because there are transgender that you think that is a female, that could be a male, or a male that is a female. And she said, well, honestly, we don't accept that here. And I said, actually, there's laws that state that they can use these facilities. And you can't just question them because it's against the law. And she said, well, it's our decision. It's our discretion if we want to do that or not as employees. Okay, mind you, she said as employees, not as in the company, but as employees. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I'm standing there thinking, well, my God, these people are going to be fucking sued. It's going to happen because it's against the law to do that. You can't just say a man or a woman to use the bathroom. It's, you know, you just can't do that. And so, it was very offensive that they put that up there. And apparently these people have a problem with transgender people. And so, therefore, they're not going to allow them to use the bathroom. What's funny is it's a single bathroom. It's not like five people get into the bathroom and use it. It's a one bathroom. It's single. One toilet in the stall, you know, in a bathroom. So you open the door, it's one toilet, one sink, and that's it. You know, there's not multiple toilets in there. So that's the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, it's not offending anybody. It's not causing any problems. As a male, I ain't going to lie to you. If the men's restroom is full, I've used the female's bathroom because I have to take a piss. I'm going to go piss. Vice versa. I know women out there who probably use men's restrooms. So, you know, to post a sign, it's really a dangerous thing. And I really think that, again, this is just shows you, I mean, I'm in a conservative state, but it shows you how much the Republicans have lost their fucking minds that, you know, that they believe in this, that they want to go against people who are transgender and gay or lesbians, and they don't want to support them. They don't believe in them. They don't believe what they're doing is of God. They believe that what they are is disgusting, and they think that they're, you know, this bestiality or whatever you want to call it. But that's what they believe. They believe that they're disgusting in all shapes and forms. So, unfortunately, this is how we have come to society of MAGA and the Republicans, and it's getting worse. And I'm telling you, you know, we are going into voting, which is what? I think it's Tuesday. I believe it's Tuesday is when we're going to vote. So here's the thing. If we don't stop these Republicans, it's going to be a nightmare for the rest of our country. So you need to go out and vote for Democrats and remove the Republicans because it's going to get worse. I mean, you're looking at a fascist country if the Republicans stay in office. And if that's really what you want is a fascist country like Hitler did with Germany, then vote for them. But if you want a better country for America and you want capitalism, you want this, then you need to vote for the Democrats because nothing is getting done because Republicans are not allowing it to get done. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden. And by the way, President Joe Biden has done a lot of work, by the way. And he has worked his ass off and built this country up. But I will say that the Republicans have blocked a lot of stuff that Joe Biden has been trying to do and the Democrats have been trying to do to make it, our country better. And the Republicans have blocked it, thinking, hey, we're going to make the Democrats look really terrible. But in the long run, it is actually backfiring in their fucking faces. So we need to fix this country. We got to fix it by removing the Republicans totally out of office. That's what we got to do. We have to eliminate MAGA, period. That's what it's about. So that's why I wanted to bring this up really quick before we started the show, and that's what some of the topics we're going to talk about today. I am going to let Paula bring in some, because she has some information that I wanted her to share that she had shared with me. They are, you know, so Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's a really piece of work, has been sharing a video about President Joe Biden, which is a really sickening video, by the way. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the other politics. We're going to be talking about voting that's coming up in the midterms. It's so important to get out there and vote, and that's coming up on Tuesday. So all this stuff is happening. We need to talk about it. We need to get prepared, because with our democracy, it is at hand. It's very dangerously in jeopardy of being in a turmoil due to the Republican Party. And the only way we're going to change this is, like I said, vote the Republicans out of office. So let's get to it. I'm going to bring Ms. Paula Alexander in, and we're going to start this show. If you have a question or comment, please remember you can email us at realbluepolitics@gmail.com. That's realbluepolitics@gmail.com. Or you can call us here on the show. Press 1 when you are prompted to. Just hit press option 1, and you will come right to the host queue, and you can ask your question or whatever. The phone number here is 563-999-3400. So you can do either one, email us or call us. All right, let's go ahead and get Paul in. Here we go.
So good, I'm on top of it when I dream. I'm doing you all night. Stretches all down my back to keep me right on. Hey, y'all crazy, bitch, but you're so good.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, Ms. Paula Alexander. How you doing, sweetie?
Hi. Well, I woke up from a nap. I slept for about an hour, close to an hour. And I woke up just before the show started, so I'm still kind of foggy brain, do you know what I mean? But I'm here.
I do know what you mean. Huh?
Yeah, I'm here. So I sent you a link. Hi, everybody listening in. You know, I got to tell you, you always tell me we have a lot of people listening in. And I've got that. When I tell a troll that I co-host, I had the other day I had a troll. I told a troll that I was a co-host of a podcast, and you know, in other words, you know, they take me for just some old lady in Arkansas that doesn't know what the fuck I'm talking about, right? So that's why I do that. Like, it's to let them know. I don't co-host this show for nothing, you know. So I had one the other. Yeah. So I had a troll the other day that said something about all two of our listeners, implied that you know we had no listeners basically, and yeah, stupid.
Well, yeah, that's what they do. They try to belittle you because they think, well, you know, you guys are you're just a small potatoes. But the thing is,
right,
is that what they don't realize is how big that we've gotten with the show. We've done it for about a year or two now. So it's actually gotten bigger and bigger, and it's because
right
of what we've done, you know. And it's people, I think, want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the bullshit. And that's why it gets bigger and bigger like it is.
Right, or there are the trolls and the maggots that want to call in and make fun of us, or write in and make fun of us. And, you know, it doesn't bother me in the least. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm fighting for my country. And you are, too.
Man. Yeah.
You know, it's like Biden said in that speech that we're fighting for the soul of our country. You know, we are. That's why we do this.
Yeah.
Not for shits and giggles. You know.
No. No, it's really funny because people don't realize how, you know, how much we've come a long way that, you know, that with this. And of course, you know, if we are, if the trolls are starting to come to us and people start, you know, these Republicans are starting to, you know, call in and email us and say, you know, all this negative shit, that what they're doing is actually helping us. And they don't realize is that we know that we're hitting their nerves and it's pissing them off. And they have no way of fighting back as far as with justification of unless they have to give out misinformation or lies. That's the only way they can rebuttal. And if they can't go to that, then they just go to attacking us. And that's what they do.
Right. Correct. Absolutely correct. So, you know, screw you, trolls.
Exactly.
Anyway,
yeah, fuck you.
I saw the pictures of your sisters. And God. Oh my God. People. There are other people out there who try to imitate the three sisters and hocus pocus. His sisters were perfect. Oh, my God. Even one of them put the buck teeth in like Bette Midler did in the movie. Are you there? I lost you. Hello? Anyway, his sisters, the sisters in Hocus Pocus. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said even the one she put in fake buck teeth to look like Bette Midler in the front,
she did.
Buck teeth. Oh my God, that was perfect. Oh my God, they look so good.
Oh my God,
they were perfect. Did they go anywhere like that?
No, they just stayed at my nephew's, and they were passing out candy and stuff. And then we filmed them, you know, doing their walk and everything.
Yeah,
and
that was so cute.
And that book that you see there that they're holding with the eye is the book, you know, it's like the book in the movie. My nephew actually made that book. He made it. They didn't buy it. He handmade it. Yes.
I was wondering where it came from. I was thinking, oh my God, this is so perfect. You know what they should have done? They should have gone out to eat or through a drive-thru or something. Oh, my God. They look so good. They needed to be seen in public. They were so good. Oh.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. My one sister, Kathleen, man, she reminded me so much of Bette Midler. I said, you look just like Bette Midler. It's like kind of creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she had the red wig on and the buck teeth and this thing. Where did they get the clothes from? Did they tell you?
No, they didn't tell me, but I'm like, the clothes, everything was just like perfect. And then like her teeth, that's why I don't, you know, wherever she goes, yeah, they're like these adhesive teeth that go onto your, they glue onto your other teeth and they stay there. And then I was like, I told her, I said, oh my God, even with your features in your face, it's so funny because you look like Bette Midler. You do. It's fucking weird.
She was the more. She looked like Bette Midler's clone. Okay, your other two sisters also look like the other two sisters, but the one that looked like Bette Midler was perfect, dead on. too great.
Oh,
it was great. The whole thing was great. They should have gone out in public. I would have, if I was out in public, I would have loved to have seen them. They should have gone to Walmart and walked through or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And went up to the little kids and stuff. You know, that would have been fun.
Yeah. Get a broom with them. You know what I mean?
I don't know why they didn't do that. They should have.
Yes. Yes. People would have loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, they needed that. Only because it was so cool.
Right. So what do we want to talk about? Well, first of all, the thing about the bathroom, that's discriminatory.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody needs to tell the ACLU about it, which is the government, the organization against discrimination. Somebody needs to tell them. And speaking of using the other bathrooms, I remember when I lived in Cincinnati before I met Gino, before I met my ex-husband. I was out with a girlfriend in a bar, and it was downtown Cincinnati someplace. I don't remember. It's been so long ago, I couldn't tell you the name, exactly where it was or nothing. But there was the place was big, and I went to go to the – I was about to pee my pants. And I went to go to the bathroom, and there was a line clear out around the block to use the ladies' room. And I jumped in the men's line.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all looking at me like, lady, you do know.
Hey, when you got to piss, you got to piss.
Right. Right. I didn't care. And I come out of the stall, and the men that hadn't seen me go in were all going, oh, my God.
There's a woman in the men's bathroom.
Yeah. It was amusing, but I was literally about to have it running down my legs. So I had to do what I had to do. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it. Like I said, I've used female bathrooms. I'll do it. If I have to piss, I piss.
Right. So
it all goes down the same drain.
So she, what did she tell you? Say it again, what the cashier told you.
The cashier said that it was they put the sign up there because there was a guy that went in who was dressed like a female, and she didn't know if it was Halloween or whatever, but she said that a guy going into a female's bathroom, that they weren't going to have it, that they were not going to tolerate it, and so therefore, because they're not going to tolerate it, she cut it out, you know. They put the sign up there, and then she said that, and that's why I was like, you know, that could be a, what about if it was a transgender person? She goes, it doesn't matter. If anybody goes in there, it's a guy, doesn't belong in the female's bathroom. And I'm like, it's a fucking single bathroom, lady. And ain't like people are going in and then looking underneath the stall. They're fucking idiots. Idiots.
So,
idiots.
So I wonder if she's the one that put the sign up.
Well, that's what I think. I think she did. And she said the employees are the ones who didn't feel comfortable. Not anybody else. you know, not the employer, but the employee. So that to me is fucked up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I've told this story before. When I lived in Cincinnati, I worked what is now the Macy's call center. At the time, it was Bloomingdale's. It was Bloomingdale's and Spiegel's. And I worked for Bloomingdale's by mail, which was a catalog order company. You know, it wasn't like we could. Back then, it was like 2003. People didn't go online and shop like they do now. They did it by phone. They would call us and we would take their orders. So I worked on the second floor. There was a main men and women's bathroom on the first floor. On the second floor, in the big room I worked in, you know, the call centers, they have these huge rooms with cubicles or desks that you individuals work at. Well, on the second floor in this room, we had a unisex bathroom. In other words, it was specifically for any damn person who wanted to use it. And we had a transgender woman that worked on that floor. She didn't work in my department. She worked in, like, call-in with when they had problems, like an order issue, things like that. But she used the same bathroom that I used, that everybody used. I had a male manager that was not gay, not transgender, that used the same bathroom that I used. So this is absolutely, what you saw is discriminatory. It's homophobic, transphobic. Somebody used to call. I wonder if they're doing it in all the stores.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I'm just going to say no. Only because I didn't see it. I go to multiple UDS a night because of Ubering, and I didn't see anything except for that one location. But I took a picture of it, tomorrow, I'm actually going to send that to UDF, their corporate office, and ask them, you know, hey, what's going on here, and tell them what happened. And then if I don't hear from them, then I'm going to send it to our local news stations here. And that's where I'll go to next.
Well, and also, like I said, the ACLU needs to know about it. They're the ones that fight for rights, for civil rights, and they need to know about it. They need to pick it up and send a letter to UDF, if nothing else. We are aware that you are discriminating against people in your bathrooms and, you know, whatever else they want to say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, people in charge, wherever, need to know about that, because that's not right.
Yeah, exactly. No. Exactly.
So, you want to talk about this? I cannot believe Marjorie Taylor Greene. Everything that
I
comes
know.
From her, everything that comes out of her is hate. Hate, lies. The main thing is hate. Hate, hate, hate. And she put out a video, and I don't know if she made it or somebody on her team made it or she got it from somebody else, but it's Joe Biden, and it's him bending down and maybe touching the arm of a child or the shoulders of a child, where he says on a couple of them, "Hey, baby, hey, baby." And it is so taken out of context. It's not even, it's not funny. Joe Biden is a very empathetic, kind soul. And he loves kids. And, you know, they put this, she's not the first one to do this. You know, because he, you know, they have said that his granddaughter's diary, who he hangs out with, who hangs out with him and travels with him and goes to functions with him, they say when Veritas, however you want to pronounce it, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, stole her diary to try and get some dirt on the Bidens. Did you know that? It was taken to court. By the way, they got taken to court over that.
Oh, my God.
They got sued for stealing a government official's and their family's property. Well, it's stolen property, period. But anyway, they put out the lie that she said that Grandpa Joe liked to take showers with her.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And people actually believe this shit. People actually believe this shit. They wanted to publish. They said they wanted to publish it. Okay?
Oh, my God. That's fucked up.
But they were blocked from it. They were blocked from doing it. But the thing is that, you know what that would have been. This is a conspiracy theory-based organization, Veritas is. So it's just like Hunter Biden's laptop. You know, they've been screaming about that laptop for 2.5-3 years. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Where is it? Somebody has it, but they said it's been through so many hands, it's had shit planted on it. So you're not telling me that his granddaughter, they would put out a diary that would say, you know, Grandpa Joe liked to take showers with me, and somebody didn't make it up to look like her diary.
Right.
Like, as you say, this is how fucked up these people are. They'll do or say anything just out of this world crazy shit, and people will believe them. It's insane. But anyway, this video that she put out was of Joe saying, you know, being affectionate to small children and talking to them in a sweet way. But there's other people around. It's in a public setting. Huh?
It's like it blows my mind that these motherfuckers think that, oh yeah, Joe Biden's going to go out and molest these kids, you know,
in front of a room full of other
people. Yeah.
In front of a room full of other people. Do you know how sick you have to be?
Yeah. Fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Fucking MAGA are stupid.
Right. So, you know, I don't know what her deal is, but on this one. But it's usually about what kind of attention she can get, like the Paul Pelosi thing, like I talked about last night. She sat down in front of the camera and said she doesn't, you know, she doesn't condone violence. There shouldn't be violence against anybody. And then proceeded, you know, and talked about Paul Pelosi, and then proceeded to play a tape recorder of supposed threats and hate speech toward her. So she turned an attack on an 82-year-old senior into something about her. Sure, if you want to talk about it later, if you want to put that out there later at a different time, that's fine. But to put it in the same conversation about an attack on an 82-year-old man is pathetic. It's
Yeah. Yeah, it's real bad. And to do that about an old man that has that is not doing anything else but... And you know what? So that video, so when they were talking about this, I watched that video that person sent us that link to. So I watched it because I wanted to see what the fuck it was about. And the one thing that I noticed out of that video was there was something to do with, they said, okay, so in the video, it said that, according to the video, that the man who broke into into Paul Pelosi's home was in his underwear. And so that's
right.
What they were saying. The guy that was in the underwear was the guy who broke into Paul's home. And so they said that's unique that he was in his underwear as he broke into his home. That's why there was a sexual thing. And then there was something to do with that. The police said that there was three people in there and all the stuff. And they're like, you know, so, but the video was like going after all that shit like that.
Trying to make it look like Paul Pelosi was involved with a male prostitute. That's
yep.
what they're trying. That's what they're saying. That's what they're
yeah.
saying. They also said that third person, they're saying a third person was there. That didn't
yes,
happen.
Yes, there was a right.
This guy, DePape, his last name is actually pronounced DePape. DePape actually broke a window on a door. And that's how he got in. There was not a third person.
No. No.
This
no,
is
no.
all
exactly.
made up shit. This is all fake shit because they don't like Nancy Pelosi. Now, this is something I put on the GOP page today on one of their... I said something about it. I said, meanwhile, the Republican Party is lying about Paul Pelosi I don't know what all I said. But anyway, the one part that I pointed out, and I want people to think about this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're making a joke about an 82-year-old senior man being attacked. And let's pretend this wasn't Nancy Pelosi's husband. Let's pretend this is your dad or your grandpa or somebody who lives in a small town in Arkansas or in Ohio, and somebody broke in and beat an old man over the head. Would they still be making fun of it, making jokes about it, and conspiracy theories about some
right.
old man that had nothing to do with the government? I mean, I think you got to think about it like that. It's, you wouldn't want people making fun of your grandpa for getting hurt because somebody broke in. So why would you do it? Why would you do it to this old man? Because he's Nancy Pelosi's cousin. It's unconscionable. It's pathetic. It's sick. It's. I don't have enough words to use against these people.
Yeah, it just shows you how fucking sick MAGA truly is.
Yeah,
I mean, this shows us how sick the Republican Party is.
Right. I mean, it's like a 13-year-old bully in junior high school. Kind of sick.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, grow the fuck up. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's messed up, Paula. It really is messed up. And unfortunately, that's what they want is the Republicans want people to put to keep them in power for that reason. You know, they have done nothing but destroy our country with
right.
their rhetorics and fascist ways and people. If you want this shit in the United States of America, then you need to think about that shit, man, because our country is fucked. If you let them continue to stay in office, we are screwed.
Okay. Speaking of, you know, some of the polls are saying that Republicans are slightly ahead in the polls. But the thing is that a lot of these polls are, first of all, you can't believe polls. We've all found that
right.
out in elections, presidential elections. But,
oh, yeah.
So one report I saw was from an actual Republican poll. Republicans took the poll. And I think it was in Georgia. And what they're saying is that, first of all, they said they didn't talk to, for the poll, they did not talk to, they did not talk to a large portion of the people that they should have. Like, they only spoke to a small portion of blacks. They hardly spoke to anybody under 40. So what I read is that they are ginning up the polls to make people think that they're winning and for Democrats not to vote because they're going to win anyway. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's kind of like their
tactics. Even how they've done that in the past, they
yeah.
try to get people so they don't vote.
Right, right. Well, yeah, what they're doing is they're trying to make people lose confidence. Democrats officially lose confidence in the election.
Yeah.
So they won't vote. So that means don't listen to them. Do not listen to the polls. Just you have to get out there and vote. I already did. I did a week ago. I did last Monday. I voted
yeah.
last Monday. And you know what's awful? Because this is Arkansas, there were a couple of mm-hmm. positions that they had nobody else running against the Republican. And I had to click on the Republican, because if you don't, vote for somebody, it'll make you go back and vote anyway. So, because it's happened to me before. Like, I don't know if that's just the way it is in Arkansas, or the way the machines are set up, or if it's everywhere. But I remember there was like two Republicans I had to vote for, because if I hadn't done it at the end, when I was ready to print my ticket, it would have made me go back and do it anyway. So, and that's fucked up.
So, this is something that's interesting. I want to read a little bit of this article. So just to kind of show how grotesque all this shit is. So the man that attacked Paul Pelosi, it says the man accused of attacking Paul Pelosi confessed in an interview with local police that he intended to find House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and hold her hostage. And according to a criminal complaint filed in the court, the FBI affidavit filed with the complaint said that the suspect, David DePape, would you say his name was DePape? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, DePape.
Stated that he was going to hold Nancy hostage and talk to her. If Nancy were to tell the truth, he would let her go. And if she lied, he was going to break her kneecaps. Affidavit further stated that he told the police that Nancy Pelosi was the leader of the PAC and promoted by the Democratic Party, and that he was going to break her kneecaps and put her in a wheelchair, and then he was going to torture her. This just kind of goes into how fucked up, you know, this guy is. But also, even it says, this is what I thought was funny, that it says that one person put a point here, it says from the news article, says that Donald Trump Jr.'s reaction to Paul Pelosi's attack shows how low the Republican Party has actually sunken to, how disgusting they are. And this stuff like this is kind of chilling in a sense, because people still think that this is all fake, that you know, and these conspiracies, oh my God. And so it says here that the police are now having to debunk the disturbing conspiracy theories pushed by conservatives. It's that bad.
Right. You know, and I don't know if you saw it, but oh, I should have sent that to you. The, the prosecutor in San Francisco, the woman named Brooks something, she did a press conference today. And she literally press conference. This type, you have to slow this down. You have to stop with the ugly. I'm not using her words. Basically, what she's saying is you have to stop the ugly words against your political opponent just because you don't like them. This has to end. If I can find it. Let me see if I can find it and send it to you. Hang on. She's a district attorney. What's her name? Brooke Jenkins. Hang on, let me see if I'm still looking. Brooke Jenkins press conference. Paul Pelosi. I'm just...
Are you talking about the prosecutor and the
and
Pelosi's attack?
She is. Okay.
She the prosecutor in the attack case?
Yes. Well, she's the
black woman?
Very pretty black woman.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I actually found a couple of things here on that. That's why I was looking at it while you were speaking. Let me do something. I'll see if I can download it real quick and see if we can find some of these, because I'm finding this is kind of interesting. Let me see if I can get to it. Give me just a moment here, guys, and we'll, because I found a couple things that I'm actually interested in with this Paul Pelosi thing, and and I want to know, and I truly do want to know this, everybody, the people that are listening right now, if you think that this was a conspiracy of Paul Pelosi, this whole thing, I really want to know why you think it's a conspiracy. And what makes you believe that it's a conspiracy? Because I really want to know why somewhere in your brain you think it's a conspiracy. And if you can actually prove that to me, then that would be a different story. But, you know, I want to hear if you know how to tell me the truth of this. Because, I'm not going to, no propaganda shit, just the truth. Because I don't understand how people, I don't know. I just, I guess maybe I'm just flabbergasted by this whole thing. I don't know. I just feel, honestly, it really bothers me that our country is that bad. And what's really bad about it is that it's the Republicans who say, let's get ready for a war. We need to worry about this. We need to worry about that. And they're the ones that we have to worry about is being away from them. I mean, rant and rave to be worried about everybody else. We need to be worried about we need to be worried about MAGA and the Republicans being the threat, not everybody else.
Right. 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 So, her press conference was really important today because it's actually calling out the ugliness that's going on in politics and why this happened. And that it is, in the interview with the Pape that they have found out this was planned. It wasn't spur of the moment. It was a planned attack. And by the way, some information on DePape. I found out a little bit of information about DePape. DePape is actually a Canadian citizen. He came to the country, United States, like 20 years ago, and overstayed his welcome. In other words, he's here illegally. Now,
oh, that's nice.
This is more crazy fucked up shit from the maggots. They're saying
that's
that
nice
because
that he's here illegally.
Right. Well the thing is,
close is he with Donald Trump shit? I mean, is he really wrapped
maggot
up in that shit?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Well, look, I was about to go there.
Okay.
The Republicans, some of the Republicans are so fucked up. They're saying because he's a Canadian, he wasn't MAGA.
Oh, geez.
when he wasn't. He can't legally vote here because he's illegal.
No.
But as far as his political ideology and his opinions and how he feels, he is a MAGA. But yet they're saying because he's Canadian, he's not a MAGA. That's, there are people in other countries that are MAGA, that live overseas, that love Donald Trump and believe all the fucked up lies that he tells. Those people are also MAGAs. You don't have to live in the United States to be a MAGA.
No, you don't. It's funny, anytime I hear the term MAGA, I keep thinking the word maggot. So every time I think of MAGA, I think of maggot.
Well, you know, that's how people say it. And I spell it these days. I spell it this way, and that's the same way a lot of people spell it. It's MAGA, little A-T. Spell it.
That's better. I like that. It fits better.
Yeah. So you can call him a maggot without calling him a maggot. You know what I mean? without calling them the little bitty, squirmy, gross child of a fly.
Is this that? By the way, I'm downloading this audio. I've got a couple audios here that I found pertaining to the Paul Pelosi thing, and I just thought it was very interesting. One of them is the 911 tape.
Oh,
which I find very interesting.
I haven't heard
that. So I want to hear that.
They released it?
I guess they have.
Okay.
Apparently
Paul Pelosi, when he got to the bathroom, was able to call 911. He had to use code to talk to the 911 operator. And in the process of speaking code, he said something about my friend is here, about a friend being there.
Yeah.
And now the maggots are taking that and taking it literally. That has to go with the Paul Pelosi hiring a male prostitute kind of thing. They're taking it and running with it. Because he said on the 911 tape that it was a friend, they're using that, even though it was a way to let the 911 operator know that there was trouble. They're using it against him as a male, his so-called friend that was there was a male prostitute. Government people in the government, we're talking like senators and Congress people and even Elon Musk, the new owner of Twitter, are all repeating this shit.
Yeah, it's fucked up as well, and that's that, you know, and I even heard them say that they were, somebody even made the point that they were both in their underwear when they arrived. The police saw both of the suspect and Paul Pelosi in their underwear, both together, and then they were like, well, why would somebody who is there to beat the shit out of a man, an elderly man, then all of a sudden your attacker lets you go to the bathroom? They're like, something's wrong with that. It's like, okay. You know, that's where he went to. He went to the bathroom for safety.
Well, he was from what I've read, is Paul Pelosi was trying to talk to him and find out what he wanted. up. And so that must have been when he said he had to go to the bathroom. Because he wasn't attacked until, I believe, it wasn't in until after Paul Pelosi came out of the bathroom. So,
right.
Until then,
that's what it sounds like.
Until then, he was trying to, he was trying to talk the guy down. Queen Elizabeth did. Somebody broke into the castle with Queen Elizabeth one time. Do you know that? I can't remember how long ago that was. And she did the same thing with that guy. She just sat there and talked to him like a normal person, asking him about his life. You know, getting to know him a little bit and being calm with him and until somebody could get there and arrest him. So that's what Paul Pelosi was doing with this guy. Very smart. It's very smart.
That's what you do. That, you know, that's
so,
you know, even in law enforcement, that they teach you, the people teach you to, it's better to speak to the people and try to convince somebody who's fucked up like that that you're on their side or you're equal to them, and, you know, and you just basically talk them, you know, the more that you talk to them, the more, you know, especially if somebody is there for the purpose of wanting to take somebody hostage, then they're trying,
right.
You know, they're wanting to talk to somebody. It's a negotiation is what comes into play. So, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you act like you care about them. You want to get to know them and why, you know, what they're doing there, and ask them about their lives and if they have kids, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and try to get to know them. And that's what Paul Pelosi was doing before he went to the bathroom and called 911. And it wasn't until after he came out of the bathroom that the guy hit him with a hammer with the police standing in the room. In other words, it had to have happened within a split second.
Oh, yeah.
I believe they actually watched him hit Paul Pelosi with the hammer while they were entering the room.
Man. Yeah, I tell you, when I was a police officer, I actually had somebody once that I responded to, this guy that actually had a knife, and he was running around, and he had, like, his family in the room with him. I mean, there was, like, a six-year-old child, a woman, and then there was him, and he's not running, he's more walking around, and then he starts talking to himself. He was seeing gigantic spiders that were attacking him, and he had a butcher's knife, and he was trying to attack these spiders in thin air, and then he was actually would see them on him, and he would actually use the knife on himself, and he, you know, he would slice a part of his body, and then, you know, he'd start swinging at the family members, the kid, the wife. So the guy was obviously mentally ill. Something was wrong with him.
Right.
When I rolled up on this situation, I the way I was trained to handle it and the way I did handle it was I asked him, I said, hey, what's going on? And he's like, well, there's these fucking spiders everywhere. Do you see them? And I'm like, yes, I do see them. They're all over you, and they're all over the place. So let me get you out here. Come with me. Hurry up. Run. And I said, run out there. Let's run and get in my car, and I'm going to get you away from this situation so we can get you away from them. And so I kept talking to him, and then all of a sudden he was like, oh, my God, man, and he's taking the knife, and he's trying to, you know, like, slice at him. And I said, look, buddy, just take the knife down, and I'll get him from you. So I went up, and I actually patted him on the back. I said, let me get the one off your back. You know, I was, you know, playing around with him.
Uh-huh.
And he actually dropped the knife, and he started running towards my police cruiser. He jumps in the back of it. And then I was like, let's get you to the hospital
so they can actually get the rest of them off you. And he was, you know, through the whole ride, he was really creeped out that he could see these spiders. And I told him, I said, don't move, whatever you do, just don't move. We don't want to get all over the car. And finally got him to the hospital. And then all these other police officers, everybody was there, and we actually could detain him, put him in handcuffs, and then so he wouldn't hurt himself or anybody else. And then finally they gave him some psych meds and stuff, and he was basically schizophrenic is what it was. So, but,
well, that's what
you
I
know,
figured.
It could have been, but it could have been handled differently. It could have been a bad situation, you know, depending on the police officer who arrived. It could have been something that would have got out of hand, where somebody might have got shot, or the guy would have, you know, got out of hand and injured or his family members or one of the police officers. But that's the way, yeah, that's the way I was trained to handle the situation, and that's what I did. And it actually worked. So, you know, that's how I did it. And nobody got hurt, and he got the medications that he needed. So, you know, I felt bad for his family and his six-year-old, but, you know,
yeah.
It, like I said, it could have been a bad situation. Yeah, exactly.
How do you live with that? I mean, how does a family member able to live with that? My God. My God. Good job, Jerry. Good job.
All right, so I have the audio tape. We're going to play these audios. I want to hear these, see what these things say here. I just want to, we're going to take a list of them. All right, here we go. Here's the first one.
2640 Broadway, cross of Scott and Normandy. I have a 14 hour copy. RP stated that there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. RP sounded somewhat confused. Is a friend? RP sounded somewhat confused. Over back and copy.
Units code 3 to 2640 Broadway for 14 hour.
Code 12 over copy. 15 hour rolls code 3. 15 hour rolls code 3.
Everyone qualifies in sufficient units on scene 2640 Broadway. Special call medic 66, location 2640 Broadway.
Our officers observed Mr. Pelosi and the suspect both holding a hammer. The suspect pulled the hammer away from Mr. Pelosi and violently assaulted him with it. Our officers immediately tackled the suspect.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, hospitalized after a violent attack with a hammer in the San Francisco home he shares with the speaker. Sources telling CNN the 82-year-old is recovering tonight after the man broke in through the back of the home.
This is an active investigation.
Sources tell CNN the intruder shouted, "Where is Nancy?" when he confronted her husband. The assailant tried to tie up Paul Pelosi until, quote, Nancy got home. Sources also tell CNN that when San Francisco police arrived, the assailant said he was, quote, waiting for Nancy. Police booking the alleged suspect on a list of crimes.
Attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, burglary, and several other additional felonies. The suspect has been identified as 42-year-old David DePepe.
A review of the suspect's social media shows multiple posts about conspiracy theories, such as links to videos produced by MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell claiming the 2020 election was stolen. Speaker Pelosi was in Washington at the time of the attack, and sources say there was no protective detail at the home. Her security team is robust but doesn't protect family members when she's away. A spokesman for the speaker said Paul Pelosi is expected to make a full recovery. Now, the FBI is on the ground at the speaker's residence, along with the United States Capitol Police and the San Francisco Police Department.
The motive for this attack is still being determined.
Investigators also trying to determine how this crime unfolded. Sources tell CNN U.S. Capitol Police have a feed of security cameras at the home and caught the attack on video. FBI Director Christopher Wray recently told CNN he sees a trend of people settling scores with violence, and that is becoming all too normal.
There are way, way too many people who are willing to take their ideological, social, or political grievances, perhaps very earnestly felt, and manifest them through violence. And in our system, there is a right way and a wrong way to express when you're angry or upset about something.
John, over the last 2 years, threats to lawmakers have extended to their families, and this includes Representative Adam Kinzinger. In an interview Friday with my colleague Zach Cohen, Kinzinger told CNN that he received a threat directed to his family and directed at his young child when he brought these concerns to Capitol Police. He tells CNN he was essentially told, get in line. Back to you.
All right, Whitney Wild for us in Washington. Thank you. I want to bring in CNN special correspondent Jamie Gangel. Jamie, you were first to report these shocking details, including the suspect shouting, "Where's Nancy?" before the attack. What else are you learning now?
So, first of all, we've just learned from a source familiar that speaks...
Well, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Paul Pelosi and David DePape? Just a reminder, I'm not diagnosing by this video. Only speculating about what could be happening in a situation like this. If you enjoy this video, please like it, subscribe to my channel, and consider supporting me on Patreon. I'll put the link to Patreon in the description for this video. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. This case involves two people, Paul Pelosi and David Wayne DePape. I will briefly look at Paul's background, then move to David's. Paul Pelosi was born on April 15, 1940. In 1957, Paul was driving a vehicle that was involved in a collision. His older brother was killed. Paul was later acquitted of misdemeanor manslaughter. As a matter of coincidence, his older brother was named David. Paul earned a bachelor's degree in foreign service from Georgetown University. During his time there, he met his future wife, Nancy Pelosi. At the time making this video, Nancy is the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives. Paul owns a company that's involved in real estate and venture capital investment. This has made Paul and his wife, Nancy, quite wealthy. Together, they are worth about $114 million. The couple lives in a $6 million house in the Pacific Heights neighborhood of San Francisco, California. In May 2022, Paul was arrested for DUI. After being involved in a collision in his Porsche, he pleaded guilty in August and was sentenced to 5 days in jail. Now moving to the background of David DePape. David was born sometime around 1980 and grew up in Powell River, British Columbia, Canada. Relatives described him as reclusive, nonviolent, and heavily committed to video games. Sometime around the age of 20, he became estranged from his family and moved to California. David lived in Berkeley and was romantically involved with a notorious nudist activist. They had two sons together. She would later say that David was mentally ill and that he once believed that he was Jesus. According to a friend of David's, he once lived in a storage unit and had a drug problem. He made a living by selling bracelets made of hemp. He was extremely shy. For example, he was unable to open a bank account because he was afraid to talk to a teller. David allegedly sent disturbing emails to people in which he sounded out of touch with reality, appeared to be dangerous, and used biblical references to justify doing harm. By October 2022, David was living in a school bus outside the home of his former nudist lover. David made a number of unusual posts on the internet, including on social media. A few examples, he posted videos with offensive and bizarre titles. One video was titled, "Noah Survived the Collapse of Atlantis." David made blog posts which contained anti-Semitic and racist content and believed that colleges were becoming cults. He appeared to have an affinity for Adolf Hitler, Donald Trump, and Jordan Peterson, and was not a fan of Hillary Clinton. David believed that George Floyd died from a drug overdose, and his killer was falsely convicted. He posted links to multiple videos produced by Mike Lindell, who is the CEO of MyPillow. The videos feature Mike falsely claiming that the 2020 presidential election was stolen from Donald Trump. David did not appear to be a big fan of COVID vaccines and believed that global elites were using coronavirus to promote a new world order. He posted links to content on the QAnon conspiracy theory. David believed that he was being visited by what he referred to as an invisible fairy, who sometimes appeared to him in the form of a bird. He apparently wanted to buy a miniature house for the mythical creature on the website Etsy. but was frustrated because all of the miniature houses available there had fake doors. David wrote, quote, "They have a lot of fairy houses, but none of them are made for fairies," unquote. I find this interesting because one version of the mythology of fairies states that these magical creatures were angels who became trapped between heaven and hell. God ordered the gates of heaven shut, and some angels were locked out of heaven. This connects back with David's concern. Maybe he thought the mythical creatures would be standing outside of the miniature house, banging on the fake doors and saying, "Seriously, again we get locked out? Why does this keep happening to us?" Now moving to the timeline of the crime. During the early morning hours of October 28, 2022, Paul Pelosi was in his residence in San Francisco. His wife, Nancy Pelosi, was in Washington, D.C. According to the police, 42-year-old David DePape broke into the back door of the Pelosi residence and confronted Paul. At some point during the confrontation, Paul Pelosi told David DePape that he needed to use the bathroom. Paul called 911 at 2:27 a.m., but apparently did not feel as though he could speak freely on the call. It was like he was trying to avoid aggravating the intruder. The 911 operator heard Paul saying, quote, "What's going on? Why are you here? What are you doing to me?" unquote. The operator contacted police dispatch and described Paul's situation by saying, quote, "He states there's a male in the home and that he is going to wait for his wife. He stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but that his name is David and that he is a friend. He sounded somewhat confused," unquote. The police responded within 2 minutes and knocked on the front door. Someone on the inside of the residence opened the door. The police encountered Paul and David in a physical altercation. Each of them had one hand on a single hammer. The police ordered both men to drop the hammer. David pulled the hammer away from Paul and attacked him with it, striking him in the head at least one time. At some point, David was shouting, "Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy?" The police tackled David and arrested him. He was in the possession of a manifesto containing anti-government beliefs and a list of other politicians he planned on targeting. David was also carrying a bag containing zip ties and other items. The media falsely reported that David was in his underwear, I'm guessing in an attempt to make him look bad, but David was already doing a pretty good job of that himself. Paul Pelosi was taken to the hospital and underwent surgery to repair a skull fracture, as well as serious injuries to his right arm and hands. He is expected to make a full recovery. Now moving to my analysis. Whenever a case like this comes up, it leads to the emergence of a series of predictable political arguments. For example, some Democrats are blaming Republicans for the attack, especially Republicans who support Trump. Nancy Pelosi has been a favorite target of people on the far right. Therefore, there's this idea that her critics have encouraged people to take things too far. Others argue that David's alleged behavior is isolated. He may have been inspired by politics, but his actions were primarily fueled by mental health symptoms. There are two questions I'll answer as far as this attack. One, why has Nancy Pelosi become a target for the far right? And two, what were the thought processes of David DePape? Looking at the first question, why has Nancy Pelosi attracted so much negative attention from certain figures in the far right? There's something about Nancy Pelosi which really aggravates right-wing extremists and conspiracy theorists. She is a frequent target of criticism, despite there being other high-profile figures available, like Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I think there are a few reasons why Nancy has attracted so much attention from conspiracy theorists. Nancy has been in politics a long time, therefore she is quite well known. She is in a leadership position as Speaker of the House. She has become a symbol of the progressive movement and is thought of as being on the far left. Many Democrats don't think that Nancy is actually on the far left, which is one of the reasons that some Democrats don't like her. Nancy represents much of the San Francisco area, which is known as being a stronghold of liberal ideology. Perhaps that's one reason she's viewed as being extremely liberal. Nancy and her husband have made millions of dollars trading on the stock market. Some people wonder if they are using insider knowledge to do this. Nancy has been an outspoken critic of Donald Trump. She has even engaged in behaviors which some people consider disrespectful, like her sarcastic clap during Trump's State of the Union speech in 2019 and tearing up his speech a year later. Certain figures on the right view Nancy's image as consistent with popular conspiracy theories, like the idea of the wealthy liberal elite trying to take over the world, or the alien lizard humanoid takeover. There, of course, is another conspiracy theory which combines these two, so the alien lizard humanoids are the wealthy liberal elite. To the far right, Nancy has become a symbol of all that they dislike in the far left. Whenever a politician is targeted with personal attacks, there will be those who misinterpret the political process and take inappropriate and sometimes illegal actions. This brings me to the thought processes of David DePape. In looking at the various reports about David, his personality profile and behavior seem to be consistent with other conspiracy theorists who have committed acts of violence. David was a loner. He allegedly had a substance use problem. He was socially awkward. For example, he had trouble making eye contact. He frightened people with his disturbing statements. He made posts on the internet which were racist. He believed colleges were indoctrinating people as part of a far-left agenda. He thought coronavirus was part of a liberal conspiracy. David believed in the New World Order. He was attracted to the QAnon conspiracy theory. He believed that Donald Trump was cheated out of the presidency. And he believed that tiny mythical creatures were having housing problems. That one isn't...
All right, so... Before I bring Paula back in and we continue where we left off, the one thing that she was talking about was the prosecuting the attorney that she was talking about.
And out front this evening, the breaking news. Paul Pelosi, the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, is now out of surgery for a fractured skull. This after police say an intruder broke into their home overnight and attacked with a hammer. That intruder also attempted to tie Mr. Pelosi up, quote, until Nancy got home. This is according to sources. Now, Speaker Pelosi was in Washington at this time, but sources tell CNN the intruder repeatedly asked, where is Nancy? Where is Nancy? In the rampage. Now, the suspect is now identified as 42-year-old David DePape of California. He is facing charges of attempted homicide, as well as burglary, assault with a deadly weapon, and elder abuse. I'm going to talk to the district attorney in charge of the case in just a moment. Relatives are telling CNN DePape had a Facebook page full of conspiracy theories. These theories were about the 2020 election and January 6th specifically. That image there was on one of them. And two blogs written by a user with the same name of the suspect that we found have anti-Semitic screens and QAnon-linked content, including videos with pictures of Speaker Pelosi in them. And now, this extremely disturbing attack coming just 11 days before Election Day, leaders from both parties expressing outrage in a rare show of unity. Vice President Harris says she's appalled by the attack, and the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell tweeted he was horrified and disgusted. Now, lawmakers from both parties are also warning that this is now an ominous sign, a signal about what still lies ahead.
It reminds me of January 6th, because when the insurrectionists broke in the Capitol, one of the first places they went was to the Speaker's office. It just shows us the danger that our democracy is in.
This is what happens when you convince a third of the country that the election was stolen and that the other side is an enemy. This isn't how democracies work. This isn't how self-governance works. We're in a bad moment.
Out front now, Josh Campbell. He is outside the Pelosi home in San Francisco. Josh, what else are investigators learning about this attack and the suspect here?
Well, Aaron, this individual appears to be the exact type of person that is law enforcement's worst nightmare. It's what they've been warning about. People who not only consume so many of these conspiracy theories, but also appears to be predisposed to violence. As you mentioned, this individual's social media presence contained numerous conspiracy theories about the election, about January 6th, about COVID vaccines. He retweeted, reposted information from Mike Lindell, the election-denying pillow salesman. And again, he's accused of coming here to the home of Speaker Nancy Pelosi in the early morning hours today, turning this residence behind me into a crime scene.
82-year-old Paul Pelosi, the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, undergoing surgery today after being violently attacked with a hammer early Friday morning at the Pelosi San Francisco home. Speaker Pelosi was in Washington at the time.
Special call medic 66, location.
Police say they found Paul Pelosi fending off an attacker after responding to a request for a priority well-being check at the Pelosi home.
They encountered an adult male and Mr. Pelosi's husband, Paul. Our officers observed Mr. Pelosi and the suspect both holding a hammer. The suspect pulled the hammer away from Mr. Pelosi and violently assaulted him with it.
The assailant was searching for the speaker, according to a source briefed on the attack. He confronted Mr. Pelosi, shouting, "Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy?"
Our officers immediately tackled the suspect, disarmed him, took him into custody, requested emergency backup, and rendered medical aid.
Two sources familiar with the investigation tell CNN the attacker hit Pelosi and attempted to tie him up after breaking into the back of the home around 2:30 a.m. A suspect, 42-year-old David DePap, is now in custody. His Facebook page, now taken down, had posts of memes and conspiracy theories about the 2020 election and the January 6 attack at the U.S. Capitol. Not long ago, Nancy Pelosi was a target of the January 6 rioters, with them hunting for her and trashing her office. The motive for Friday's attack on her husband is not yet known.
Mr. DePepe will be booked at the San Francisco County Jail on the following charges: attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, burglary, and several other additional felonies.
The Speaker's office issued a statement saying Mr. Pelosi is expected to make a full recovery.
Now, Aaron, the residence behind me here was flooded with law enforcement throughout much of the day. Police as well as FBI agents, they appear to be near completing their processing of evidence for the day. Of course, this comes as we're learning new information about why these officers were brought to this location to begin with. CNN's John Miller and Jamie Gangella reporting that Paul Pelosi was able to call 911 at the start of this attack and was speaking in code. As he engaged with this attacker, it was an adept dispatcher who realized that something was wrong. They sent police here to this location. They were able to ultimately tackle the suspect. Again, he remains in custody. Authorities say they expect him to face multiple charges, including attempted homicide and assault. Aaron.
All right, Josh, thank you very much. And as Josh was speaking, we do have a development. Our Dana Bash is reporting that the speaker, Nancy Pelosi, is now in San Francisco, and she is at the hospital with her husband, Paul, right now as I speak. So she has obviously gotten from Washington back to San Francisco, and she's there at the hospital. I want to go now to the San Francisco District Attorney, Brooke Jenkins. And District Attorney Jenkins, I appreciate your time. We understand the suspect is facing quite a few charges. Attempted murder is the most serious. What more are you able to tell us about this incident and what DePap planned to do?
Yes, and thank you. And first, I just want to extend our support and our prayers to Speaker Pelosi and her family, and we truly hope for a speedy recovery for Mr. Pelosi. But what I can tell you is much of what you have already reported, which is that this individual forced his way into the Pelosi home before eventually attacking Mr. Pelosi with a hammer before officers could intervene. And so he is facing attempted murder charges once we've reviewed this case, but that appears to be which direction we're headed, as well as assault with a deadly weapon and residential burglary.
So we've also discovered two blogs, District Attorney, with the same name of the suspect on these blogs, QAnon-linked content, a video that showed Pelosi during one of former President Trump's impeachments. Do you know anything about the suspect's motive or how long he planned this? I mean, do you have any of this information in hand yet?
No, that is a part of the ongoing investigation right now, both between the San Francisco Police Department and the FBI.
So sources tell CNN the suspect, you talk about he broke in and then attacked, eventually attacked Mr. Pelosi. We understand he was saying, "Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy?" And that he then tried to tie Paul Pelosi up, in his words, until Nancy got home. You mentioned that it seems likely the direction this is going is these murder charges. Is there any question in your mind right now that he was intending to kill Nancy Pelosi?
Right now, as I said, we don't know all of the facts just yet. We are still in the middle of a proceeding investigation, and so some of those details of what was going on in the home prior to the police arriving are still things that we're trying to flush out. But we do know that at the point at which the police arrived, he did turn and use that hammer against the speaker's husband in a manner that appeared that he was intending to kill him.
And it's obviously very significant that they, you know, they saw that and that it certainly indicated intent to murder. You know, we've learned that part of the reason that this even possibly didn't end in such a horrific way was that Paul Pelosi called 911 at the beginning of the attack and was able to leave the phone line open even as he and the attacker continued to interact. One source says the suspect's struggle with Pelosi was then captured on police body camera as they came through the door to intervene, that this attack that you're referring to is actually on camera. What more are you able to tell me, District Attorney, if anything, about that 911 call or the body cam video?
All I can tell you right now is that it is really thanks to Mr. Pelosi having the ability to be able to make that call, and truly the attention and the instincts of that dispatcher to realize that something was wrong in that situation and to make the police call a priority, so that they got there within 2 minutes to respond to this situation. And so we do have to give her great credit for her responsiveness.
Yes.
And for the police responsiveness.
Have police been able to speak to the suspect yet?
They have been able to speak with him, but again, like I said, given the investigation is still ongoing, none of that information is being released at this
right.
time.
You can't share that. Are you able to tell us anything about what condition the suspect is in?
He did sustain some minor injuries, but that's all I can say.
Minor injuries. All right. Well, District Attorney, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much for sharing what you were able to share. Thanks.
All right. So there was a few audios that I just played. So, Paula, are you there, hon?
I'm here.
Okay.
A note before we begin. Did you notice all the ways that they pronounced his last name? So it's all the way from DePape to DePop to DePape. We don't really know how to say his last name, but it's somewhere in that, you know. It's one of those.
Yeah, we could just call him mega idiot there. You know, he's just what he is. But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The one audio I thought was very interesting because the guy that I guess he might be a psychiatrist or some shit, but he was really going in depth about, you know, the history with Paul Pelosi and this mega idiot, and then, you know, kind of giving some background on them. And I actually, it was pretty interesting information because some of it's stuff I really didn't know about the suspect. So, you know, it kind of makes me, you know, I mean, just to know that information was pretty neat. You know, how he went in depth with that about the fairies and stuff like that. That was pretty interesting because I didn't know, you know, that he, how far this guy was out there in left field, you know?
Yeah. I'm no doctor or psychiatrist or psychologist, but the way it's being described is, the way he's being described is, I mean, it sounds like he may have schizophrenia too, like your guy did.
Yeah.
When you were
exactly.
I mean.
Well, you know what's funny is when they were mentioning, that guy was describing him, the first person I thought of was Charles Manson. I don't know why, but that's what came to my mind was Charles Manson.
Huh. Well,
you know, it's just so creepy. Well, it's like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, why do you compare him to Charles Manson, just for the heck of it?
I compare him to Charles Manson because of the way that Charles Manson was really fucking creepy like that. that he, you know, Charles Manson seen things himself. He would, you know, hallucinate. Obviously, he would take psychotic drugs and shit like that. But with this guy, very similar as far as, you know, he's another person that was manipulated by Trump and the conspiracy world and QAnon.
Right.
And so Charles Manson
right.
is pretty similar to that aspect. So really, Charles Manson to me is really more of Donald Trump. But I feel like that guy was like, when I say Charles Manson, I'm thinking the whole aspect of Charles Manson and his followers, you know. And that's what I'm seeing here.
Right.
I'm seeing that that's what this is. It's the same fucking cult similarity. But the guy actually has those similarities of Charles Manson as well. But so did Charles Manson's followers. If you look at it, Charles Manson's followers looked at Charles Manson, but they had to be like reproductions or reproductive or replicas of Charles Manson is what I'm trying to say. So they followed him because they thought, you know, we're like him. You know, we look at him as a god, and, you know, he's going to tell us what to do. So that's how I compare him to Charles Manson, with Donald Trump and all this other weird shit.
Yeah, okay. I get it now. I get it now. Hey, this is Q Leathers. Just put out some polls by the New York Times, the Anna polls, on key Senate races. Just quickie, before we get further into this, Arizona has Kelly up by 51, which is a Democrat, to Masters 45. The Democrat 51, Republican 45 in Arizona. Georgia, Warnock up 49 to 46. God, I hope that's right. Nevada. Nevada's a dead heat. Republican and Democrat are both 47-47. Pennsylvania, Fetterman, the Democrat, 49 to Oz, 44. That is a 5-point lead in Pennsylvania. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. So we're trying to keep Democrats in the House so that Republicans can't come in and you know, totally ban abortion, totally ban transgender, take away Social Security, Medicare. We have to keep the Democrats in the House, period. Period. So, there
yeah.
we go. Anyway, so...
exactly.
So, this tape, you know, they... Yes, Paul Pelosi was drunk in a car wreck, and he did get arrested for drunk driving, and, you know, he's an Italian. I'm sure he loves his wine. you know, I drink at night. I'm drinking now, but I don't drive. Boy, shouldn't have been driving. And, do it once, you know, don't hurt anybody except, you know, get caught. Screw it. Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but so that guy debunked a bunch of shit concerning what happened. The guy had been with a nudist lover. That's why they're, you know, that's another thing they've been saying about Paul Pelosi, is that he was his nudist lover. He was his nudist prostitute, male prostitute. I mean, God. So ignorant. Because his ex was a nudist, I mean, that's why he almost killed a 82-year-old man. Give me a break. Give me a fucking break.
Well, that's true. Exactly. It's funny how people come up with these conspiracies. It's so fucked up.
What else did you take away from those tapes?
Yeah, I mean, I take away that we have the whole situation with that. I think that, thinking of what kind of, that this guy was really an adamant Trump follower, which really that we know of, and not only that he was an adamant Trump follower, but he also was, a part of the QAnon thing. What's funny is when I listen to that kind of stuff, when I hear them talk about this, I keep going back to the whole thing of how this all still ties back to the conspiracy world of QAnon and Donald Trump. And to me, this shows us how dangerous this shit is.
Right.
I don't know. To me, I'm just really concerned about it because, I followed conspiracy stuff before. And, I was pretty heavy into it. So when I listen to this, I keep thinking to myself, shit, I should still do it and fucking make money off these fucking idiot MAGA supporters. I should be charging something and making money off of them because they're fucking that idiotic that they're paying for something. I need to come up with something, man, and say I have fucking multivitamins or something that will protect you from the Democrats. Take this vitamin and the Democrat will go away from you.
That's funny.
My God.
No, Jerry, don't do that. Jerry, don't do that. Come on.
I mean, that's how screwed up they are, man.
don't add to it. Don't add to it. You might get in trouble. We don't want you getting in trouble.
It's funny people are posting pictures of Paul Pelosi and a hammer up to his fucking head and stuff, his forehead. I just seen a meme like that.
Yeah, I mean, do you know how fucked up you have to be to do that when the man could have died?
Oh, yeah.
The man could have died.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's really, really, really fucked up. Really fucked up. I mean, okay. So that guy, I love the fact that guy debunked a lot of stuff that happened that day. And the reason...
Yeah.
That, he called 911, and then I guess he was yelling, "Why are you here? What do you want?" And the 911 operator took it from there, and the reason he called him his friend, he didn't want to say in front of him, "There is someone here who wants to hurt me and my wife," in front of him. I mean, he's going to say it's a friend. He's going to alert the 911 operator by saying weird shit. And they even said he appeared to be confused. Okay? Well, he appeared to be confused because he was alerting the 911 operator with weird language, with the things he said. So,
Yeah, I mean, he handled that exactly the way it should have been done, and he did. He was very smart about it, and thank God to the 911 operator for catching on to it too.
Right, and they're not saying her name. They're not saying her name, because you realize what might happen to her if her name was to get out there.
Oh, yeah, fucking MAGA world would be all over that.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Maybe she's asked for her name, or maybe it's a rule or a law or something that her name cannot be released. I don't know what it is, but I wouldn't blame her for not wanting my name out there if I were her. You know,
yeah.
Because they're going to come after her. Well, why didn't you let him finish the job? Or some shit like that. That would be exactly what some MAGA idiot would say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's funny because somebody posted that here in an email and said, you know, with all this that's happening with Paul Pelosi's assault, you know, this distracts from the Department of Homeland Security and the Biden administration's Kula dig with big tech, and of course they're going to censor Republicans moving forward. This is why Republicans will win in November, because the American people are fed up with Democrats and their own conspiracy world. Right. Right. Paula, can you believe this?
Oh, that's cannot believe it.
Oh my God.
We have the conspiracy theories, dude. Write back. I want you, if you're listening, write back and please explain to us what kind of conspiracy theories Democrats have, because I want to hear it. I want to get the email back. Write us back and tell us specifically what the Democratic conspiracy theories are. What do you got? Prove it. Prove it. We'll wait.
Yeah, here's one. Here's my favorite one right here. This is from Frank. Frank writes and says that you know that Paul Pelosi's attacker was a nudist ex-lover, and he was also a pedophile who was sent by Joe Biden to attack Paul Pelosi and to start a conspiracy against Republicans. There you go.
Oh my God.
Do they believe this shit?
No. Dude. Do you have any common sense whatsoever? Was your brain dropped when you were born? I mean, that makes no fucking sense whatsoever. I mean, Mike, what? I'm doing what Obama did in the rally the other day for Reverend Warnock, when he spouted a conspiracy theory about from some MAGA Republican candidate. And he repeated the conspiracy theory, and then he paused, and he goes, first of all, and he looks around, and he goes, what? Well, I'm doing a what right now? And then, not only that, but he said it like four times. What? What? I don't know if you saw that rally, Jerry. I don't know if you saw Obama at that rally, but you need to watch it, because Obama was on fire at that rally. Oh, my. I mean, I'm surprised the room didn't go up in flames. Anyway, yeah, so... I mean, he was. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Find it, take your time, go watch it, and you will sit there and go, oh, my God, I wish this man was president again. I love Biden, but my heart belongs to Obama.
Yes. I've always liked, love Obama. I think Obama was one of the best presidents I've seen since probably John F. Kennedy.
Right. Exactly. He has charisma. He has charm. He has intelligence. He's just freaking. He has common sense. I mean, something that amazes me, that astounds me, that blows me away, is the lack of common sense when it comes to these maggots and their conspiracy theories and the people who actually believe them. Where is the common sense? It has left the building. Anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
Any more emails?
That's what I'm saying. That it is like, this stuff is getting out of hand, man, and that it's going to get worse, man. I'm telling you. So this guy's name is, Jeff. Jeff writes and says that there is a red wave coming to the United States this November due to that people need a change from that the Democrats have done to destroy this nation. They have overruled all of the policies that Donald Trump put in office. When he was there, he made changes for America that actually was for the positive. But now we are in a recession due to Donald Trump actually tried to help us from the recession, but we are now in a recession. Sorry, I got fumbled up here on the words. When you sent that message, it removed the email, so I had to pull it back up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
I'm sorry.
He said that Donald Trump was actually helped him, but now he says right here, he says, as you know, that this is all due to Joe Biden, who caused the recession. And Americans know that we are headed down a path that is even worse than what Barack Obama did to us in 2005 to 2008. Get ready, because the red wave is coming, and they will, thank God, do away with abortions and frivolous money spending from the Democrats. There you go, Paula.
Okay, where do I start? Because I'm drinking. I'm drinking. I need a subject. Okay. Where do I start? First of all, I've repeated this 1,000 times on this show. Joe Biden did not create inflation. He did not create it. We had a pandemic where not just the country, but the whole world shut down. We had to live in our homes. We didn't shop. We didn't go to work. We didn't go to school. We didn't buy us groceries like we could. Didn't shop like we could. And so, therefore, that started during Trump. That started during Trump, who, in fact, ignored it. He was told that there was a virus coming that was going to cause a pandemic in, like, November of 2019. And he ignored it. He actually said that it would disappear in a week or so, quote unquote. And it did.
Exactly.
And he tried to play it down like it was a big fat nothing. In fact, he got rid of the Obama pandemic team that was set up to fight and against a possible pandemic. They threw away the handbook that they learned, that they had scientists, doctors, and researchers put together in case a pandemic happened, in case an Ebola happened while Obama was president. Do you know we have 3 cases of Ebola in the United States of America? And that was from 3 people that went to Africa to fight against it, that came back with it. And only one of those 3 people died. They stopped it in its tracks, whereas people in Africa were dropping like flies from Ebola. But because of the Obama pandemic team, we stopped it in its tracks. You know what Trump did when coronavirus came around? He tried to pretend it didn't exist, that it was a big fat nothing. In the process, over 100 million people died because of his ignorance. Because he ignored it, because he disbanded that team, and that pandemic team, and he threw away the pandemic book and said it wasn't a big deal. And it wasn't until, what was it, March or April, I think it was April of 2020, he finally came out and said, we have a pandemic. Well, by that time, it was too late. It was also dropping people like flies. Highly contagious, and the man absolutely didn't give a flying fuck. And then told us to ingest bleach and cleaning fluids into our human bodies to kill it. And take horse dewormer. Are you fucking kidding me? Also, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't somebody
ingest it was that hydrochloroquine, whatever the hell it was. Remember it was like that what they put in fish tanks, and the people took it.
They died.
And fucking died from it. Because Donald Trump told them to do it.
Yep, they did. That happened. Yep, that happened. Obama, you know, you don't like, you motherfucker, you don't like Obama because Trump doesn't like Obama. Obama tried to say that Obama was born in Africa, and in fact, he was born in Hawaii, which is an American state. God, these people. And in fact, the president before Obama was Republican George W. Bush, who put us in a recession where people were homeless, lost their jobs, didn't have incomes, and the Republican Party wasn't handing out food stamps. I know. I was making, at the time, when George W. Bush was in office, I had a job in a call center for a mortgage company. So I got, you know, I have personal experience with this. I was making $7.50 an hour. I was only allowed to work 38 hours a week because, God forbid, I work 40 hours a week and be eligible for insurance. They made a point saying I wasn't eligible for insurance by only allowing me to work 38 hours a week and making $7.50 an hour. So I went to DHL and applied for food stamps. on $7.50 an hour. Because I lived alone, there's no other income in the house. I was paying my rent, my utility bills, my car, my gas, my insurance, household items I need, like, you know, paper towels, toilet paper, et cetera, et cetera, of $7.50 an hour. And do you know I was turned down for food stamps while George, a Republican president, was in office on making $7.50 an hour? I was turned down for food stamps. So I was taking my salary. I got paid every once a week or every 2 weeks. I think it was once a week. And I was taking, I had to budget so tight. I was spending, I had to take my paycheck and make sure that I could buy my food, my coffee, my breakfast, my dinner when I got home from work, and my work lunches. I had to do it on my own. And I had to budget like it was, I remember I would actually put a list out and go, this is this much, this is this much, this is this much, and only spend $20 to $25 a week on groceries for myself, to feed myself, to keep me alive, because a Republican president didn't care enough about me to give me food stamps. And then when Obama came in, can you still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm on a rant. When Obama came, and then I find out during that time, while George Bush, a Republican president, was in office, I find out I have hypertension, blood pressure. And if you don't know what that is a killer. That's a kind of blood pressure that is so high that can give you a heart attack or a stroke and you die. And I couldn't afford the blood pressure medicine and the cholesterol medicine that kept me alive. And then Obama won office. He won the presidency. And he created Obamacare, the ACA, as it's called. And he wanted all Americans to have health care. Did not apply for it. I did not ask for it. But I went out to my mailbox one day to get the mail, and I get this envelope. I'm in an apartment complex, so I'm staying at a multiple mailbox system in the parking lot, and I get this envelope with plain marking on it. And I open it up in front of the mailbox, and it's a Blue Cross and Blue Shield insurance card paid for by Obamacare. And I literally bawled. I bawled all the way from the mailbox to back to my apartment, sat down in shock, bawling my eyes out, because this man actually cared enough about Americans to create a healthcare system where everybody could be treated for their health problems. And I immediately, the next day, got on the phone, called one of the clinics here in town where there's multiple doctors, made an appointment, and got in, and sure enough, I had hypertension. I still had hypertension, blood pressure. And those 5 years, that was 5 years between the time I found out and the time I got that insurance card, that I could have died because Republicans don't give a flying fuck about me.
Yeah, they don't. You're right.
And now they want to take away my Social Security if they win. cruelty.
Yeah. They want to take it all away from
you. It's cruel. They do not want to help. Republicans do not want to help the American people. They do not want to help. Only care about giving tax breaks to the upper wealthy and hurting the little person. They and their money. They only care about their money and their power. They don't actually care about human beings. As long as they're rich and can pay for their health payment and food and paying for a car, they don't care about people. They don't care about the American people. When I hear what this guy says on this email, I see red, obviously, because I'm on a rant. If you do not understand what the Republican Party is about and that the Democratic Party is out there actually helping human beings that God made, you are fucked in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Yeah, you
have
are.
You have no common sense whatsoever. I got to take a deep breath.
You were you're doing good.
Do I sound like Obama?
Well, and I'm telling you, the thing is, it's frightening.
Am I on fire?
Because you're on fire, and I.
Am I?
It's frightening because we're going to be in just a few days. They're going to be voting, and I pray to God that for your sake and for the sake of our country, and for your Social Security and for our veterans and for diabetics and everything else and for abortions that people will make the right choice and vote Democrat, because if they don't, it's going to be I think if the Republicans win, it's going to be a real bad shit show, because they're going to start immediately cutting shit immediately, and then it's going to get worse. And then it's going to go from that to that there's going to probably be, either way, there's going to be some kind of fight against the people in this world. Or not in this world, but in this country. And it's going to happen. It's coming to that point.
Let me give an afterthought to removing Social Security. These idiots are so stupid, they don't realize that seniors on Social Security are the number two population in the country, age-wise, and that we spend money. Our Social Security puts money out there to companies, whether it's our rental company, our energy companies, our gas, our electric, our water companies, the car companies, corporations, buying food, clothing, shopping online. We are spenders. I pay all my bills, and then I buy a few things for myself online. We keep the money flowing to keep the economy going. As a senior, if you take our Social Security away, that money is going to stop flowing. It's not going to be there for us to spend to keep the economy going. So if they take our Social Security away from us, it will destroy the country. It will absolutely destroy the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will you have a bunch of old people homeless on the streets dying because we can't afford our medication, but the money won't be out there to blow and spend and keep these companies like Amazon, Walmart, Kroger, Exxon, all these, it won't flow. The lack of Social Security will destroy the country.
Oh, yeah.
Are you there?
It will. Yeah. I'm here.
I mean, the cell phone companies, everything, cable. I mean, when you put a microscope on it and realize where all our money goes, and that money has suddenly disappeared. The country will go down in flames because of the Republican Party.
Yeah. Yeah, and Trumpism will become stronger. Another thing that people don't realize is that if the Republicans are elected or reelected, basically, something else that's going to happen is Donald Trump is going to get away with everything that he's done, because the one thing that they can overrule or they can get rid of, and this is something that they were bringing up, that they can actually, the Republicans, if they have full control of both House and Senate, they can actually take over and get rid of that January 6th committee. They can actually do away with overruling Trump and what he's done. And so they can do any of this stuff because they will have full 100% control. And that means that it's going to be hell. But I do know that I love what Joe Biden said. He said, if the Republicans win, you're going to see a lot of vetoes coming into play, which I'm glad. We don't even want that to happen. So the only thing we can do is just vote for Democrats because you got to get them in there, man. And if we don't, and seriously, it's going to be a bad shit show. And I don't think people realize the severity of what's about ready to come if you don't vote for the Democrats. And I'm not just saying it because I think it's funny that we need Democrats in there. It's go look at it for yourself to see the difference between the two and see for yourself. Make that judgment call, you know. Paula, I know we're getting close to the end of the show. I was going to have you end up the show, and we'll close up the show.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been good. Sorry about my rant. Not sorry. people, they hear from my personal standpoint, from someone who's on Social Security, what's going to end up being if the Republicans win. So I'm sorry, not sorry. But we thank you for your... We thank you for your emails. We thank you for listening. And, Gary, I don't know if after I get off here, my phone might die. Still on for right now.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Unbelievable. Yeah. we appreciate you. You guys have a great week. And we'll be back if anything happens during the week. And please be kind. Please think kind. Think kind. Be nice. Be sweet. Assalamu alaikum. May peace be with you. Good night, everybody.
And it was excellent said, Paula. And I haven't decided with Paula and that, but we're going to find out when election, because with election day coming up, we might come in
sometime during the, you know, maybe do a night show, late show tomorrow on that day, just kind of giving some results of what's been going on, and we'll let you know if we are fucked or if we're going to be okay, you know, because that's what's important. But we'll, we may do a show on Election Day, you know, so let's look at it as up in the air, leaning for a positive yes on that, okay? So just wanted to show that or throw that out there to you. So I'm going to leave you guys with this. Marjorie Taylor Greene, dumb bitch herself, did a debate, and she looked like a fucking idiot on the debate. This was about 2 weeks ago, by as a matter of fact. And I wanted you guys to hear how stupid this woman is and listen to her opponent fucking go off on her. It's, like, beautiful. I love it.
Next debate that we looked at, Marjorie Taylor Greene versus challenger Marcus Flowers. This one is like nothing I have ever, ever seen. First and foremost, Marjorie Taylor Greene accuses one of the journalists on the panel of being a Democrat activist, so-called, because of a question he asked. Take a look at this.
And we need to, what, can you tell me, give me an example?
No, you do this every time we have a debate where you I ask a question that's obvious and you're like, what do you mean? You were kicked off of your committees for saying things were controversial. You've apologized for controversial statements, right? Those types of things. What is your process for fact-checking and vetting the things that you say in public?
The things I say in public are the truth, and that's why they're so offensive to Democrat activists in the media just like you.
Notice how that's not an answer. That's not, well, here's how I fact-check. No, it's you're a Democrat activist for even asking that.
And you're asking me a blanket question with no example. I stand by the things that I say. I stand by
it. Okay. She stands by it. Whatever it is, she stands by it. And, of course, she said some horrible things. Marjorie Taylor Greene flips out when her opponent, Marcus Flowers, accuses her of fomenting the sentiment that led to January 6th by pushing election big lie stuff. And then he tries to pin her down as to whether Joe Biden won. She refuses to answer. She says only that Joe Biden is the president. This is really embarrassing.
Almost to a person has said Marjorie Taylor Greene is not who they want representing them. So yes, this campaign is about Marcus Flowers, not MTG. Thank you.
Jethro, it's your turn.
I need a rebuttal to that. You cannot accuse me of insurrection. I was a victim of the January 6th riot just as much as any other member of Congress. That was the third day I had on the job. I had nothing to do with what happened there that day, and I will not have you accuse me of that. That is wrong of you to do. You're lying about me, and you will not defame my character in that manner.
Did Joe Biden win the election, Congresswoman Green?
Joe Biden is the president of the United States.
Understand that that's how they avoid it. They say he is the president, but they won't say he won.
Absolutely, but you pushed a big lie that said he did not win the election.
There was
and
election fraud.
You drove those people to the Capitol on January 6th with your lie.
We're going
to
move on. Josh Rowe, it's your turn to ask
and my
question.
My husband has proof. That's another one of the lies she's been telling. Marcus Flowers is really good, and sadly, I don't think he stands a chance from the little polling I've seen. Marjorie Taylor Greene was asked, what's the accomplishment you're most proud of? And she basically says, Democrats haven't let me do anything, but I got some grants.
And your question for Marjorie Taylor Greene.
All right, Ms. Greene, since taking office on January 3rd, 2021, what is the one specific accomplishment solely on behalf of the 14th Congressional District that is most important to you?
Well, I tell you what, it's been hard to pass any bills in a Democrat-controlled, Nancy Pelosi-controlled House of Representatives.
Yeah, real personal responsibility, huh? I couldn't do anything because of the Democrats.
And it is a Senate that is controlled by one vote with Kamala Harris as
Kamala,
the Democrat vice president, and a White House that is controlled by Democrats, Joe Biden. Now, what we've done to accomplish things for Northwest Georgia is I'm proud to be able to bring in money via grants to help our local sheriff's department and help local businesses there. We've also worked very hard with the flooding that happened over in Somerville. And so we've worked hand-in-hand with officials there and look forward to helping them more as damages and amounts of money come out. So I'm very excited to vote and to introduce bills that uphold the conservative traditional values of the people in my district. And
Even her grin seems to suggest she knows this is BS.
Continue to do that.
All right, Josh, you get the final question. Did you have a rebuttal?
Yeah, I didn't hear an answer there, ladies and gentlemen. Representative Green said she's passed all these bills and brought money into our district. Well, you haven't. You know,
no, I voted no to Joe Biden's radical Democrat bills.
Okay, anyway, so just a complete and total disaster. One more segment here. Marcus Flowers, actually a couple. This was really interesting. Marcus Flowers asked Marjorie Taylor Greene, why does she seem to care more about the insurrectionists than people in her district? And she did not like that.
You know, you spent your time in Congress these last couple of years providing aid and comfort to the January 6th insurrectionists. My question for you is, why do you care more about those criminals in jail than you do about the people of our district?
You want to know something? I care about it, about stopping the two-tier justice system that is happening right now in America.
Which she thinks is Trumpist and everyone else. But the real two-tier justice system is the privileged and elite and everybody else.
I was a victim of the January 6th riot, and I've said it over and over again. I'm completely against what happened on January 6th. But I will not stand by and watch Merrick Garland turn the Department of Justice into a political weapon, and the FBI sending it after parents that are addressing their school boards, people that walked in the Capitol and have been held in jail for nearly 2 years, while Antifa and BLM rioters go free and are never held accountable.
Now, of course, that's not true, and the hilarity of a Republican suddenly caring about pretrial detention is really, really quaint. Last clip, she does pull out the QAnon stuff. Pedophilia, child abuse, et cetera.
Party. The Democrat Party is the party of child abuse. It's the party that represents grooming children and sexualizing them in school, teaching anti-white racism in the terms of CRT education, and genital mutilation of kids, kids that can't even get a driver's license, can't get a tattoo, and cannot vote. How do you stand there and represent the Democrat Party as a father? And do you believe in genital mutilation of children under the age of 18 and these puberty blockers that have severe health consequences?
So a really buzzword QAnon bingo there from Marjorie Taylor Greene. She sadly will probably win, and that says more about the country than it does about Marcus Flowers, who is an excellent candidate. We'll take a quick break and then look at the Ron Johnson Mandela Barnes interview right after this. One of our sponsors is Paired, the app for couples. Every day, Paired gives you and your partner questions, quizzes, games to have fun, to stay connected, to deepen your conversations and get to know each other better. What's great about it is you don't even have to be in the same room, especially with the baby right now. My girlfriend and I are quite busy. And Paired really helped us to stay connected. You get a daily question to answer. You can't see your partner's answer until you answer yourself, and their questions about everything, relationship, life, intimacy, other things. And all of the exercises were developed by academic psychologists and expert relationship therapists as well. Questions like, what makes you feel lucky in your relationship? Great when you want to remember and have gratitude, a really great thing. What's an activity you could try together this month? Actually gets people thinking about things to do. It can go in really funny directions as well, but it just always feels like time well spent. Go to paired.com/Pacman to download the app and get a 7-day free trial. The link is down below.
He was such a noble dude. I can't even finish school. Missed my mom and left too soon. His dad was a fireman who fought fire so violent. I think I bored my therapist while playing him my violin.
Oh my god,
that's so insane.
Oh my god,
that's such a shame. Next to them my shit don't feel so grand, but I can't help myself from feeling bad. I kind of feel like two things can be Somewhere someone's got it worse. Wish I made it easier. Wish I didn't feel the hurt. The world's smallest violin really needs an audience. So if I do not find somebody soon, I'll blow up into smithereens and spew my tiny symphony all up and down a city street while trying to put my mind at ease. Like finishing this melody, this feels like a necessity. So this could be the death of me, or maybe just a better me. Now come in with the symphonies and take a shot of Hennessy. I know I'm not there mentally, but you could be the remedy. So let me play my violin for you.
All right, everybody, have a good night. Until then, we will see you either on Election Day, or we will see you on next Sunday, probably on Election Day, though. That's when all the crazy stuff's going to be happening, right? So I'm looking forward to that day, Election Day. And I cannot believe that audio I heard from Marjorie Taylor Greene. This shows me how stupid the Republican Party is. And how they are, right? It's scary when you hear that and look at it in a perspective or in the light of things. All right, everybody, have a good night. I'm going to leave you with one last song. Here it is.